listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Tomorrow on the program, Robert Craig of Citizen Action Wisconsin in our 8 o'clock hour. And at 10 a.m. tomorrow, Kirk Bankstead and Kristen Lyerly. We'll tell you more about that in just a little while. Deb Baldus McGrath joins us in the first of 4-hour-long conversations that we're going to have with the Democratic candidates running in Western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. It's a big deal, not just because Ron Kind is retiring after all these years, and not just because the presumptive Republican nominee was, you know, at the insurrection as it took place, but simply because there are not that many swing districts left in the country, not just for the gerrymandering that we've talked about before, but just, you know, simple demographics as well. There's not an immense number of competitive, truly competitive districts. This is one of them. You see that in going back several elections as to, you know, the mix between people who definitely vote Democrat, definitely vote Republican, likely, you know, and then the ones who are truly swing. So, Deb, I want to start this segment with what is at stake in the 3rd Congressional District. Democrats control it right now. Republicans were predicted to win control of the House, but that was before the Roe v. Wade repeal, and now things are in flux again. So talk to me about what's at stake for the families in that district, the state, and frankly, the country, if control of the House of Representatives were to change.
Well, Pat, that is why I'm running, because the stakes of this election are so high. And when I say democracy is at risk, we are talking about things like our reproductive rights, talking about the future of healthcare, education, the fact that our national security is, you know, the changes that folks are looking at here, our economy. To really trying to get things done. So when I say now, so goes Wisconsin, so goes the nation. And we certainly, Wisconsin to me is now Iowa. And when I talk about the fact that there's not right now only two members of Congress that are, you know, and Ron, there's 3 seats out of the 8 in Wisconsin, and that we need to keep this seat so that Wisconsin can keep its fair share, because 2 members of Congress can't even serve on enough committees to be able to get Wisconsin's its fair share. So when I look at why I'm running and how I can figure into this, this is not a time for politicians as usual. And this is a time for someone who can work across the aisle. This is someone, you know, I have worked 25 years putting my country over politics, and I can get to the issues. I am the one candidate in this race who has spoken up a time and again, sometimes the first one and the only one, on some of the important issues, like national security, when Russia invaded Ukraine. I was up at midnight, you know, putting out information on that. LGBTQ rights, our, you know, reproductive rights, our things about, you know, community safety, immigration. I am talking about things that are hard and that we are going to have to tackle here. And so I've had a successful career. You know, when I look back at, when we were talking about Zawahiri, you know, the fact that I have worked across with people of all walks of life, and that we need to heal this nation, to come together and offer people hope so that we can revitalize the 3rd district and revitalize that economy and bring people back to feeling safe and secure here in the district.
You know, when we talk about the competitiveness of the district, it is something that that Ron Kind has taken flack, you know, from both sides, which is not unexpected in a highly competitive district. There have been times where he's even drawn a primary challenger for not embracing, you know, Medicare for all as vocally as others would like. There was a real raising of eyebrows, though, I think last week when Kind was one of only a handful of Democrats to vote against the assault weapons ban. And again, the congressman can certainly speak for himself, but I'm curious as to, you know, your view. When we talk about safety, we know Republicans are going to make it sound like there's crime in all the streets right here, right now. So we need to arm people to the teeth. Where do you stand when it comes to gun safety legislation that may come before you?
Well, Pat, this is near to my heart because I have served. I'm trained, and I have, you know, I've been armed in many of the years of my service and in the Army, with these weapons, with Glocks, with the M4, which is what people know as the AR-15, And I'm trained to operate in the chaos of battle. And I've been under attack, both in war zones and in embassies. And so I understand that, and I can speak with that understanding of first response and common sense. Common sense when it comes to community safety measures. So I was the first and only candidate to speak out about Ron Kind's vote no on the active shooter alert system, which is an amber system that was, you know, would alert, just simply alert people that there's an incident. And I know that this is common, this is a SOP for when there is some violence. And then the assault weapons ban, you know, he's one of four again. And, you know, this saying that he, you know, doesn't have enough time to review, that's what you're paid to do. You know, this is something that you look at the legislations ahead of you and you know what is right for a district to be, you know, address. The people are what the real concerns are. People are living in fear. So I absolutely will be able to make these common sense decisions.
You know, common sense gets trumped so often, pun intended, by people who want to politicize what should be common sense issues. There is no other developed country on earth that has the mass shooting problem that we do. It's not mental health. It's not video games. It's the guns. There should be nothing political about that. You should be trying to, you know, save lives, especially children's lives. Equally so, there is no split in the scientific community on a changing climate and of what needs to be done. And it's unfortunate that politicians who are beholden to, you know, companies that burn fossil fuels have done what they've done. But you are going to face a lot of voters who either have doubts about a changing climate or simply concerns about the expense of doing things that either mitigate the effects of it or try to, you know, burn, you know, have cleaner sources of energy. What are you hearing from folks and what are you saying to folks about climate issues?
Well, Pat, you hit the nail on the head there that this is another piece of the radical right-wing agenda that we've been talking about all within this hour. Every single piece of this is, you know, to create fear, you know, underscore that with greed, and, you know, and stay away from what the real issues are. And so we look at climate change. I understand that this is a national security issue and that this is a global imperative and that we, you know, by Trump stepped out of, you know, the Kigali Accords, the Paris Accords, the Montreal agreements, and that set us backwards. And so, one of our first steps was moving forward with our allies so that we can make the planet better because we're interconnected. But then let's bring it back down to our district. My gosh, we depend, we celebrate the air, land, and water. This is our future, and we depend on it. That mighty Mississippi, you know, when we look at the economic development of that, it is not just recreation, it's commerce and trade. And so, you know, we can balance that, the balancing the environmental protection of the upper Mississippi with the infrastructure requirements of the lock and dam system. So when I talk about this, I talk about it in terms of brass tacks, in terms of, you know, farmers getting sustainments for biodigesters, for instance. And that let's try to get incentives to help re-green our own district, repowering wind and solar, you know, to help. So many, many farmers are going to that voluntarily now. So I'm able to talk about this in a global, you know, within a federal response to it, and then really try to talk about investments that we can help to make this sustainable here in our district.
It really comes down to that creativity matter we talked about earlier, not just the USDA, but the UW Extension, the Wisconsin Idea itself, was starting to farmers get products to market while at the same time being good stewards to the land. So let's switch to, I don't want to call it election integrity, but, you know, for the purposes of discussion, there is no debate about election integrity. The elections were fair, and people who are perpetuating the big lie are just continuing the temper tantrum turned coup attempt. However, I don't doubt for a minute that when you're out, you know, at fairgrounds shaking hands or whatnot, people are telling you about the movie 2000 Mules and all sorts of other, you know, rumors and conspiracy theories that they have, not the least of which are, you know, forwarded by the presumptive Republican nominee. Are you getting into conflict and you know arguments with people when they come up to you and tell you that they think the 2020 election was not fair?
So Pat, you bring up a great point. The reason that I'm going to win this race is because I can appeal to independents and moderates, because I am someone who has stood up for our country and understand, and that I can demonstrate that I've defended it with my life for the right to vote. And that that is a sacred trust that we have and that within our country. So when I connect that way with people, there's an ability to shake hands and say, all right, I'm listening to you. What are your real concerns about your ability to vote when you know that these are your neighbors who are at the polls? You know, these are our own people, and that this is sacred. And I have seen democracies fail, and it is about suppressing voices. It's about, you know, making them afraid. So I will be standing up for the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. I would support a voting holiday. And I was a voting assistance officer overseas. So I can tell you, I absolutely will stand up for absentee ballots. So when I talk about things like that, just letting people vote, it seems to kind of, you know, not evaporate, but bring some confidence to people.
I think people would like to hear those kinds of reassurances, especially anything that's based with facts. But, you know, it's true that there will still be emotional arguments made, not necessarily backed with facts. And I don't think there's any doubt Derek Van Orden will be about that. It's going to come up in any fall candidate debate. Let's set aside your message to the voters. What's your message to Derek Van Orden when the issue comes up of his presence on the Capitol grounds on January 6th?
Derek, as someone who took the same oath to protect and defend the Constitution, as someone who desires to lead the people of Wisconsin, then how can you be led by with lies and with this repression to go to the Capitol, our sacred place, when you know that this signals the instability? And who are you really following then? Are you really, really working for the people of Wisconsin? Or are you working for an idea that is Trump? So let's take a look at someone who has not just was at the insurrection, but has bullied the LGBTQ community, women, school boards. This is a pattern of behavior. Someone who carried a loaded weapon into an airport and is on probation and calls himself a weapons expert. So this is, you know, this is not just one bad choice. This was many bad choices.
Let's turn to something that I would hope would be not a difficult question. But again, because of your military experience, it has to be said that mysteriously, or not so mysteriously, I guess, a bill stalled again last week that would provide additional assistance to veterans who are exposed to burn pits overseas, something that Ron Johnson voted against before he voted for and then voted against it again, and which every Wisconsin Republican member of the House delegation has voted against. Is there any reason whatsoever to be hesitant on passing this kind of a bill?
Pat, this is, I'm speechless about this, that Republicans are fist bumping over a revenge vote involving veterans who have been hurt in burn pits. And I've seen those burn pits. I know what was happening. And it was, you know, for them, it was the only choice at the time to get rid of, you know, things. But these people are suffering just like they did from DDT in Korea and Vietnam. Common sense legislation to take care of our veterans who are sacrificing their lives.
Deb Baldus McGrath has joined us for this hour, one of four candidates for the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary next Tuesday. Deb, it was a real pleasure. Thank you so much for visiting with us.
Thank you, Pat.
We will be back to wrap up this hour in just a moment. You're listening to Up North News. I wanna live.